Tom with Living Truth. I'm glad you're with us, and whether you're listening in the car or at home, I'm going to do something a little bit different for the next three podcasts that I'm doing. I'm going to take a little time to go through the book of Ruth, and we're going to look at truth in the book of Ruth. No pun intended there, but truth in the book of Ruth and how it points to Christmas, how it points to the coming of Jesus. Been thinking a lot about that lately with all the events going on in Israel and all the uproar and the warfare and just the difficulties of times when Ruth happened, times when the Christmas story happened, and hopefully, we can bring some of those things together. So, I read a poll that said that 43% of Americans believe it's okay to start decorating for Christmas before November 1st. And the reason why I bring that up is because Kathleen and I were talking and we were commenting on how many people have put up Christmas lights early this year, and it seems like it's earlier and earlier all the time. And maybe this year, maybe it's because it's been so warm and so dry, but it seems like it's been a trend generally for the last few years. And I wonder if it's just that people like the lights and the way that they, in a sense, bring hope and encouragement. And I can understand that. There's a lot going on in our world, and we all recognize that the symbols of hope that we have, and Christmas lights certainly are symbols of hope, that these kinds of things can encourage us, especially on the cold days, on the darker days, and when we change over from daylight savings time to standard time. That can be a time when we'd like to have those lights on. So, if you like to decorate early, great. If you don't decorate, that's the way it is too. And yet, as believers, we look forward to Christmas. And we're going to look, like I said, at the book of Ruth. And so you might want to open your Bible over to Ruth. I'll be quoting a little bit. I'll be summarizing parts of it and just talking about some of the different connections in this Old Testament story and the New Testament story of the birth of Jesus. Of course, in the Gospel accounts, we can find the story of the birth of Jesus, Joseph and Mary, the angels, shepherds, wise men, Jesus' birth in the town of Bethlehem. But it really goes all the way back to much older times, beginning in the Old Testament. And we might say the Old Testament points forward to the coming of Jesus. And of course, there are prophecies and hints of the coming of Jesus all the way from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, through all the prophets. In fact, I'd say almost every book of the Old Testament has prophesying that points to the coming of Jesus. So what about the book of Ruth? Well, Ruth is a story, and it's a short story, four chapters, a few main characters, and in the book of Ruth, there are some events that have parallels to Jesus' birth. For example, it's no coincidence that the events that take place in the book of Ruth take place in Bethlehem. And Jesus was born in Bethlehem precisely because of what happens in the book of Ruth. So there's a direct connection. We'll return to that a little bit later as well. I was thinking about Bethlehem lately because when I was over in Israel a number of years ago doing a tour and some academic study, I went down to the city of Bethlehem, as everybody does, and one of the surprising things is that Bethlehem is actually in the Palestinian territory, and so there's lots of Muslims, there's Christians that live there, not as many Jewish people, but you have to go into the Palestinian territory to go to Bethlehem. Now, the funny thing is that every taxi driver I would meet in Jerusalem would ask me, do you want to go to Bethlehem? Do you want to go to Bethlehem? They all know that the story of Christmas begins in Bethlehem. Now, as we go through the book of Ruth, we're going to find some parallels that take place between what happens to Ruth, what happens in the book of Ruth, and the Christmas story. For example, one of the obvious ones, the book of Ruth is about a young woman who makes a radical commitment to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the God that we know. And she makes a journey to Bethlehem, where she gives birth to a child who ultimately is in the line of succession. First David, then ultimately Jesus. And the Christmas story, obviously, is the story of a young woman who makes a radical commitment to God and journeys to Bethlehem, where she gives birth to the Christ child who will change the world. So Ruth wasn't a Jew. You probably know that. She was from a place called Moab. And Moab was across the Jordan River, and the Moabites were long-term enemies of Israel. And so Ruth was what we call might call an outsider. She emigrated to Bethlehem. And so in the first few verses in the book of Ruth, it says that these events happened in the days when the judges ruled. Now, we know that the time when the judges ruled, if you would read through the book of Judges, the very last verse in the book of Judges tells us that in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. In other words, it was a time period in which there was lots of chaos. You go through the book of Judges, you see some awful, awful things that people were doing to one another, killing and other kinds of atrocities that took place. And so it was a very turbulent time that was going on, just like we live in turbulent times these days. And likewise, Joseph and Mary lived in turbulent times. Ruth, in the first chapter, it says, so there was a famine in the land during this time when the judges were ruling. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. So the man's name was Elimelech, name of his wife, who has a more prominent role in the book of Ruth, is named Naomi. And then there were two sons, Mahlon, Chilion. And so they were from Bethlehem in Judah, and they went to Moab. So they left Israel, they left Bethlehem, they went to Moab because they were hungry, because there was a famine going on, and they probably intended just to go there for a short while, but once they got there, apparently they settled in, and Moab became home. And in fact, what we find is that the two sons actually marry two Moabite women. Now, unfortunately, verse 3 tells us that Elimelech died, so Naomi's husband, the mother, her husband died, and then she had these two sons. They get married to these women from Moab, and then both of the sons die. So Elimelech goes to Moab. They're trying to protect their family. They're trying to stay alive, and yet they die. Terrible situation for Naomi, the mom. She buries her husband. She buries her two sons. She doesn't have any descendants. Three funerals. Her family's gone. She's all by herself there in Moab. She is not a part of their society. What's she going to do? She's broke. She's poor, devastated, in desperation. And so she left Bethlehem to escape trouble, but she's lost everything. Kind of similar to what we read in the book of Matthew when it says that an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt." And they remained there, you remember, until the death of Herod. And so people who are fleeing away from Bethlehem and then eventually returning. In the story of Ruth and in the Christmas story, there's a lot of loss. And one of the things that happens during the Christmas season is we feel loss much more deeply. And some of you listening, maybe even though it's a time when we're celebrating, sometimes it can be a time when we're dealing with lots of confusing emotions and even sorrow that can overwhelm us. And so my hope is that in the story of Ruth and in the Christmas story that you would find hope, that you would find hope in being a part of our Christmas celebrations, and that during this season you might be able to gather with people who can encourage you, be with you, and that you also would be an encourager to others. And remember that just like in the life of Naomi, as we'll see in the life of Ruth, in the life of Joseph and Mary, that sometimes things happen and we go places and things happen that we don't understand. And yet God is still, he's still at work. He's still working behind the scenes to accomplish things that we may not even understand, just like God's plan, his purposes brought something good out of Naomi's suffering. And just like the suffering that Joseph and Mary went through brought the greatest good in all of the world, God can use our suffering and our difficulties to bring about things that are both for our growth and ultimately for the good of ourselves and others and for God's glory. Ruth is brought up in verse 4 as the woman who married one of Naomi's sons. And in verse 6, we find out there's no longer a famine in Israel. And so Naomi plans to return. And it says she got up with her daughters-in-law and was returning from the country of Moab. She'd heard in the fields of Moab, that the Lord had come to his people in Israel. He'd given them food. And so she was returning back to her homeland. God's providence was at work. God was working behind the scenes to prepare Naomi and Ruth and ultimately the salvation of the world. And God did it. Even though they may not have known what was going, certainly didn't know what God was doing behind the scenes. We get little glimmers of it as we read in the book of Ruth. So Naomi headed back to Bethlehem. Her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, and they begin with the journey. But somewhere along the way, Naomi tells them, "Go home." She says, "You don't have any future in Israel. You can go home." She says, "I've got nothing to give to you. I don't have any more kids." The tradition in that society being that one of the brothers could have married, if there were any other brothers, could have married the widows. "I've got no future," she says. "Go home. I love you. Appreciate what you've done. But go back." And she's really quite discouraging to the two young women. Now, Ruth remains. Orpah goes back, but Ruth remains, and she tells her, she tells her that while you are urging me to leave you, I'm going to go. This is verses 16 and 17. "I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to live where you live. And your people will be my people. And here's what is really significant. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. Where you're buried, I'll be buried. May the Lord do so to me. And more so, if anything but death, parts me from you. So Ruth pledges herself to Naomi and to Naomi's people, but most importantly to Naomi's God. She had experienced the reality of the true God, of the Lord God of Israel. So in 1 Thessalonians 1:9, it says that the Thessalonians had turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And that's what Ruth has done. That's what any of us have done. If we've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we've turned back from the gods of this world to the true God. Orpah went back to her people and her gods, but Ruth, she makes a break. She turns to the true God and trusts in Him, even though she didn't know what was going to lie ahead for her or Naomi. And she committed all the way to the end of her life. She said, where you die, I will die. Where you're buried, I will be buried. Essentially saying, I'm going to be with you all the way to the end. I'm committed to God all the way to the end. What did Mary do in the New Testament? Mary had heard from Gabriel the startling news, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? The angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And you remember, then Mary said in Luke 1:38, she said, let it be. Let it be to me according to your word. And so, likewise, Mary believed. Mary believed what God had said, she submitted in obedience. And likewise, any time that we respond in obedience to God, we make this same kind of a commitment. Oftentimes, it will be a step of faith. And this step of faith, God uses to impact both ourselves and others. What we do when we step out in faith is that we point to the reality of who God is, and then we join God in what He's doing, how He's at work. And so Mary and Ruth were major players in God's plan for the ages, but likewise for us, even though it's likely our parts are much smaller, the fact is that God does great things through small steps of faith. Ruth 1:18 and 19, when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said, no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. They couldn't believe that Naomi had come back. People were talking about it. Christmas story in Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose. We've come to worship him. Herod heard this. He was troubled, it says. All of Jerusalem with him, all the chief priests, the scribes of the people, they were inquiring where was the Christ to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem, in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So the city of Jerusalem was astir that the Messiah had been born in Bethlehem, 6 miles away. Like I said earlier, the taxi drivers in Jerusalem would stop on the street. They'd see somebody like me who they recognize as a foreigner, and they'd say, do you want to go to Bethlehem? Then they knew they could drive 6 miles down the road. We had to get through some of the traffic. We had to cross over into Palestinian territory, but it really wasn't too far of a drive for them. They didn't have to leave Israel. They could drop me off at the gates at the entrance point into Palestinian territory, and then it was up to me to use my passport to get in to do the tour of Bethlehem. So back to the story, Naomi and Ruth arrived in Bethlehem. The whole town was stirred. The women said, "Is this Naomi?" And she says to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." Now, Naomi, in contrast to Mara, the word Naomi means pleasant. The word Mara means bitter. And very clearly, there'd been a change in perception, a change in outlook. Naomi had left Bethlehem 10 years earlier with a husband, 2 sons. She was full of hope, even in the midst of her difficult circumstances, returns empty-handed and poor, and she says, "I'm not pleasant anymore, I'm bitter." Ruth 1:21, she says, "I went away full, the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me pleasant, Naomi, when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" And she was in a bad place, a dark place. Sometimes our heads get into a dark place, and that's when we need the light of Christ to shine in. There's times when we arrive in places like where Naomi finds herself. Life is hard. We wonder, is God for us? Is he against us? What's going on? Why are these things happening? And it's important during those times to remember God is still on his throne, that God is still at work. God is still accomplishing his purposes, even when we can't see what's going on. Naomi doesn't see this. Ruth 1:22. The first chapter of Ruth ends. "So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest." Naomi had told everyone, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Don't call me pleasant, call me bitter." And yet God calls her Naomi because he knows what's going to happen in her life and in the life of Ruth. So the book of Ruth begins in the time of Judges. There was no king in Israel. The Christmas story is about Jesus, who was born king of the Jews, worshipped by kings from afar. The book of Ruth begins with a famine in Bethlehem. Now, maybe you know this, but maybe you don't. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. One of the other interesting things, when I was tromping around Israel, I would see signs for Beit Lechem. 2 words, Bethlehem, Beit Lechem. That's Hebrew, Beit Lechem, Bethlehem, the house of bread. And Bethlehem, the house of bread, is the place where Naomi and Ruth returned. It's the place where Jesus, the bread of life, came down from heaven. You remember Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," in the book of John. And he was born in the house of bread. So all these things pointing to the coming of Jesus in Ruth, accomplished in the life of Jesus. The book of Ruth is about a young woman. She makes a radical commitment to the Lord God, the true God. She journeys to Bethlehem. Ultimately, she'll give birth to a child who will be involved in changing the world. Ultimately, the ancestor of the coming of Jesus to a young woman who makes a radical commitment to God, who journeyed to Bethlehem, where she gave birth to a child who would change the world. That's the God we worship here at Christmas time. God was at work in Bethlehem in the days of Ruth and Naomi, even when they couldn't see it. God was at work in Bethlehem in the days of Joseph and Mary, even when they struggled with it. and God's at work today. Keep the faith. Keep moving forward. Whatever darkness is coming upon you, you're sensing, you're dealing with, those lights are shining for a reason, because they show us who is the true light, the light of Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray for whoever's listening on this day, I pray that there might be opportunity during this season to reflect on the greatness of the story of the coming of the Messiah, begun so many years ago, even so many years before the coming of Jesus. And we have these little hints and these direct prophecies and ways that point to the coming of Jesus. And now as we look back and we have the testimony of the scriptures and we have our lives that we live in the midst of this chaotic and difficult generation, give us hope, give us faith, give us the light of Christ as we shine our lights. We pray for your strength and your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being with us today. We'll continue on in Ruth 2 the next time.